Hey, it's G-Paw. We've built ourselves a positive case for many more much smaller steps, MMMSS. There's a counter case, though, based in a trio of proposed optimizations. Sadly, those optimizations usually flop. Today, let's take up the shortest distance floptimization. The counter case to MMMSS is supposed to be a set of optimizations, ways around the odd, disorderly seeming path forced on us by stride limits. They are compelling, these optimizations, but false. I call them floptimizations. The shortest distance floptimization says we'll go faster if we aim perfectly and head right to the target. It's a straightforward application of 2D plane geometry. It's one of the first things we learn in school. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Graphically, it looks like this. We replace the strange wandering MMMSS steps with a single large step, a straight line, from where we are now to where we wish to go. The common variation of this is to break that very long step into a sequence of actions, each of which is a different activity, but none of which is a step, because it doesn't start ready and end ready. This is sleight of hand. It's still one gigantic step. So, looking at this, it certainly seems like this optimization would help. Why, then, does it flop so often? For these reasons. One, perfect aiming is expensive and risky. Two, big steps lack intrinsic step benefit. And three, business doesn't take place on a two-dimensional plane. Start by considering the cost of better aim. It costs effort to improve one's aim, real time and real energy and real money. That cost is rarely factored into calculating the would-be benefit of the shortest distance floptimization. We've all seen the situation where a product owner proposes a seemingly minor change and the team responds by saying it could certainly be done and will take only 3 months to accomplish. Blammo. Why does this happen and what does it mean? Modern applications are built from many parts, some of which we control perfectly, others of which we bought and installed. And each of these parts carries with it a set of decisions, assumptions about how it can and will be used. Now, no given part's decision assumptions are all that onerous or constraining. When we put them all together, though, we're talking about dozens and dozens of them, arranged rather just so, quite delicately. The level of intricacy and complexity is staggering. Two proposed changes side by side may seem to an outsider to be almost identical in scope. But one of these could take 15 minutes to implement, and the other could take 15 weeks. It's because one of them fits the pre-made assumption, and the other one doesn't. In real life, it can also happen that we purposefully built our own parts so that changing them is inherently expensive. That's the subject of the third plank, develop change-enabling technique. But even in theory, with perfect code and coders, this will still happen. We make hundreds, even thousands of these decisions. 1,000 decisions, each with 99% accuracy, virtually guarantee an error. And at this level of avoiding change blockers, a miss is as good as a mile. Shouts out to Grandma for one of her less profane sayings. That is to say, a 95% aiming accuracy is only slightly better than an 80% accuracy at avoiding these situations. To have aim truly and reliably back this floptimization, we need to be well past 99%. And that, my friends, is a difficult and expensive proposition, maybe even impossible. Furthermore, because the steps are so large, the cost of each step is large, which means the cost of making a mistake in one of those decisions is far higher than with small steps, even as the cost of perfecting our aim also grows wildly. So the cost and risk of near-perfect aim is staggeringly high in the real world, but it's invisible in the case for the shortest distance floptimization. Next, we have the loss of step benefit. In an earlier article, we discussed the considerable intrinsic benefit of small steps, the value they bring for no other reason than that they are small steps. When we apply the shortest distance floptimization, we lose nearly all of that. The eight benefits we listed were interruptibility, steerability, reversibility, target parallelism, scope, rhythm, safety, and autonomy. Though each one isn't equally present in every small step, there are usually several in play, and taken together, they add up to a lot of benefit. Some of these benefits simply disappear entirely when we take the shortest distance flow optimization. For instance, scope is right out the door. The larger step absolutely requires much larger mental scope. Similarly for steerability and interruptibility. Of course, our emphasis on aim will also reduce both autonomy and safety. The former, because our aim has to describe our result in such high detail, there's little room for maneuver. The latter, because the size of the step relates directly to the size of the risk. And finally, we have non-planar business reality. Though the abstraction and images represent and reason from a 2D plane, neither software development nor business itself holds to Euclidean geometry. The metaphor simplifies the reality so much it becomes useless to us. Far from being a plane, professional software development takes place on an incredibly twisty, complicated, loopy, ever-shifting, high-dimensional, murky, and curved manifold, one we call reality. We actually know the first rebuttal here and can illustrate it trivially. Diet Coke is a kind of security blanket for me, helping me cope. When my supplies run out, my nearest source is my local country store, Ashley's Market. Think where your nearest source is in case I come to visit. Measured in a straight line, the distance from here to Ashley's is only 1 mile. Seen on the plane, that's the obvious shortest distance. But believe me when I tell you that it would be both inefficient and highly dangerous for me to take that route. There's 2 stories down to the ground, then 2 ravines down and up again on a 30-degree grade, with a more shallow ravine between holding a river for me to wade across, and, country living, many armed neighbors who aren't fond of trespassers. Then, finally, a highway. And for you, imagine I'll be arriving in half an hour. If you drew a straight line between where you are and where the nearest Diet Cokes can be had, I'm guessing that for the overwhelming majority, you'd have a similarly difficult time traversing that straight line. Hopefully, one with fewer armed property owners. I realize many of my readers live in places where this isn't a risk. Taking the 2-mile route that I take every few days is far preferable. Trivially, then, shortest distance does not equate to efficiency or effectiveness or even, good Lord, safety. But that's a potshot rebuttal, really. There's better. Because in that cheap rebuttal, me, Ashley's, and the route are all both known and stable. Well, stable-ish. I do have my moods. But in software development, the code, the target, and the route between the two undergo far more frequent change. The target in the business world moves almost continuously. Markets are volatile, and we don't own our competitors or our customers, either one. I've worked with teams whose business domain, B2B, couldn't let them reliably aim further out than 2 days at a time. And even in semi-stable business domains, I'd bet all of you who've been in the trade longer than a year have experienced at least 1 or 2 dramatic target shifts. It is absolutely routine in software development. The target moves, and this is normal. Of course, when the target moves, the route changes. In fact, the route changes anyway, though, even when the target stands relatively still. Why? Because the route isn't a universal, objective, permanent line on a flat map. It's local to our team and its vision, and changes as they do. Our routes are based very heavily in our tech and our mindset, because we do creative, collaborative, and technical work for a living. Problems can be very similar and still have very different routes for their solution. It happens all the time. Because, you see, in the geek trades, they don't pay us to solve problems we've already solved for them. I know the route to Ashley's because I've been there 1,000 times. Have you been to your software solution 1,000 times? Now, there isn't a known route, and we don't follow it. There is an expectation that a route exists, and we discover and elaborate it as we go. The route is no more stable than the target itself. And then there's the code. The code moves, like I do, between where it's at now and where it's going. But unlike me, it changes a lot as it moves. When we move code from here to there, by definition, we're driving a self-modifying car. So you can see, with all this change, the concepts from the two-dimensional plane are really not terribly applicable. If we base our logic in the Euclidean context, we're ignoring critical factors that apply in our own actual context. The upshot of aiming cost, loss of step benefit, and non-planar business reality, the reasoning in the shortest distance flow optimization is simple, direct, almost physical, and it's absolutely ubiquitous in our trade. But it's a flow optimization. Does it ever apply? Of course. There are situations in which our aim truly can be extraordinarily accurate at low cost. Usually, these are situations where our horizon goal isn't more than a few steps away, is well understood, and is close to a problem we've solved before. Such situations certainly benefit from applying shortest distance reasoning. The key is in understanding how occasional these situations really are. Say a shortest distance approach works 10% of the time. That's a figure I suspect is far too high in real life, but go with me here. One time in 10, we find ourselves in a situation where this effort is truly optimal. It's a terrific approach to take every situation and cheaply probe it to see if it qualifies for that optimization. It's a terrible approach to take every situation and assume that it qualifies for that optimization. But that's what the trade actually does. So think about it. We set out to optimize our wonky, crooked, stride-limited path to a horizon. We use the straightforward, see what I did there, metaphor of the shortest distance. Did we get a stable, reliable, high-probability optimization? We did not. In coming days, we'll consider 1, pin-making, where we create specialist stations and handoffs, and 2, mastermind, where we create a centralized intelligence to control our operations. As we'll see, these, seemingly brilliant, aren't particularly effective either. I'm G-Paw. Thanks for listening. Hey folks, the Change Harvesting Camarada, an informal gathering of change harvesters, is open. Come to gpawhill.org/camarada and check it out. Join today. The first 50 yearly members get a personal consultation with me, G-Paw. Thanks.